farmer's grain when it came in. Certain words.
Opinions expressed are solely those of the presenter and may not reflect the views of CITR Radio or the University of British Columbia.
Bad words.
Shit, piss, fuck, cocksucker, mother, and tits. Wow.
This program may contain language that some listeners find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know?
Jake, you're back.
Shut your face. I came back for the music.
Allons-y.
I'm sorry?
It's French. But let's go.
I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day...
Home of the dangly bits.
I apologize in advance for anything I say that may or may not offend you.
When are you not full of fluff?
You gotta give him hope.
Then one day you were listening to 101.9 FM CITR. This is Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise hanging out with you. It's my actual birthday and I am enjoying a lovely dry day in Vancouver. Well, so far. I'm just waiting for those little raindrops to start. But we're still in the early morning hours here, so I'm glad I didn't get wet on my way in. For birthday plans today, I don't really have much. I'm just chilling out. Gonna meet my mother after the show, get some cool brunch. And then after that, I don't know. I think I'll just take it easy. I've got a late night show too at Co-op Radio. So anyone who wants to tune in, 100.5 FM, there's a huge birthday special happening. I've got two volunteers that help out on the show and they are excited. More excited than me about my birthday. So tune in there, 10 p.m. till midnight. It's going to be a fun show. This is also a great show, although I am on my own. So, oh, by the way, we're looking for volunteers if anybody wants to come in, email me at queerfmradio@gmail.com and we can take it from there. Anybody wants to sit in and chat with me, bring in their news, their local news, LGBT news, and also talk about what's happening in the city, that would be much appreciated. I'm always looking for new content, new stuff. And so what I'm going to do here is get us some local birth. I feel like we should play some celebration music. We got to get into the real meat of the matter here. Get some. So what? Who can guess how old I am? That could be a thing. You want to call in 604. What is it? 822-2487. Call in, give me birthday wishes. I'm ready for it. I can take it. And guess my age, too. What do you think? Can you guess ages from voices? I wonder. All right. Well, I've been listening to Destinique for a little while, and this song really strikes a chord with me. I Feel the Love, Vancouver Group. get into this. We can dance together. Here we go. 101.9 FM, CITR Queer FM.
All together, one desire here in our hands. We're united, survivors through all the pain. Such a feeling tonight that we'll never regret. Promise and heartbreak we live to forget. Oh no. Love's gonna make it alright.
I feel good. April Pacific Bluegrass and Heritage Society is putting on a concert featuring the Downtown Mountain Boys from Seattle. The show's at the Anza Club at 3 West 8th, and tickets can be purchased at brownpapertickets.com.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Yes, 101.9 FM, CITR. You are listening to Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise, hanging out with you. Right now, we're just having loads of fun with birthday celebrations and dancing all over the studio, as you do when it's your birthday. Ha ha ha. Totally kidding. So, I have some cool news from across Canada, LGBT news, to be exact. I just noticed here in Daily Extra West, there's some troubling news here. Toronto councillor wants to enforce bylaw that could shut down almost every LGBT club. This is dated March 30th, 2017. Over 40 venues in Toronto have a nightclub license, and most are located in the entertainment district. Toronto isn't the town from Footloose yet, but it's getting close. City councillors are looking at potentially cracking down on nightclubs that operate without a nightclub license, which includes most, if not all, LGBT clubs in Toronto. Nightclub licenses are rarely given to venues outside of the entertainment district, meaning that clubs in Church, Wesley Village, West Queen West, Little Italy, and Bloor Street West could be fined or shut down on a moment's notice. In March 2017, the Licensing and Standards Committee asked the head of Toronto's licensing department to report on the issue in April. There are operators that are circumventing the licensing process by applying for a restaurant license and then at night taking away the restaurant chairs and operating illegally as a nightclub. Since Councillor Jim Carrigaris, by email, Carrigaris, who presented the motion, is almost the co-chair of the city's Municipal Licensing and Standards Committee. There are examples when looking at these establishments' websites, and they are packing people into small spaces, and that could be dangerous. Currently, there are only 40 venues in Toronto that have a nightclub license, the vast majority of which are in the entertainment district. None of these venues regularly host LGBT events. If a venue is outside the area where they cannot apply for these licenses, then they should not be carrying on an inappropriate venue, Carrie Garris says. On the other hand, we should look to expanding these venues outside the entertainment district in order to look after all the communities which want to have entertainment facilities. Carrie Garris urged anyone who with concerns to getting in touch with the Licensing Standards Committee. Noel Gary, a lawyer who represents bars and clubs in Toronto, says the city bylaws make it almost impossible for nightclubs to follow the rules. The issue is you actually have to have zoning by a nightclub, and that's virtually non-existent, he says. It's pretty much restricted to the entertainment district. The only portion that nightclub owners have, the only option that nightclub owners have is to try to challenge the zoning bylaw in their neighborhood. Neighborhoods, and that's an extremely difficult thing to do, he says. It's time consuming and expensive. And usually the local city councilor would oppose it. Venues operating without a nightclub license can be fined thousands of dollars or even be taken to court and shut down for up to 2 years. Kelly Kyle, the chair of the Church Wisely Village Business Improvement Area, says that she hopes the village is willing to work with businesses instead of shutting them down. I would hope that they would have compassion and work with establishments that are here that may fall under the umbrella, she says. Kyle believes that having nightlife outside of the entertainment district is essential for LGBT Torontonians. I do think it is. I do think that it plays a vital role for the community to have a safe space, she says. Oh, and I think so too. Wow, Toronto, they got some work to do over there. Oh my. And now also in Daily Extra West, moving to Vancouver with LGBT news, I was just noticing an article about the Vancouver Pride Society. Vancouver Pride's co-executive director to resign after 2017 festival. Pride Society searching for candidates now to fill the position for July. This is dated April 3rd, 2017. Vancouver Pride Society co-executive director Kieran Burgess plans to step down after this year's festival season wraps up. Burgess has been working and living in Vancouver on a 2-year visa from his home country of Australia, but his permit will expire this fall. I wanted to start the search now, Burgess explains. The society has had transition issues in the past, so we are trying to make it as smooth as possible this time. Burgess will step away from the Vancouver Pride Society position in mid-September. He currently shares the executive director position with Andrea Arnott. Burgess focuses on operation, administration, and finances, while Arnott focuses on all aspects of event planning. The Vancouver Pride Society hopes the new person will start in July so they can share a crossover period with Burgess and get some training time with him. Burgess says he loves Canada and has enjoyed his job with Pride, but after 4 years away from Australia, he's ready to be home. It was an amazing opportunity for me and a different opportunity from what I had done in the past, he says. He previously organized the International Ironman Triathlon while living in London. Burgess says he is proud of the changes made by the current Vancouver Pride Administration. I think the progress we have made from where the society was last year when I started has been really positive, and that's at the board and staff level. They had their issues in 2015, and that was interesting to come into, he says. The Vancouver Pride Society faced controversy in 2015 after some staff and community members questioned what they saw as a partisan, uneven implementation of the trans pledge, and all parade participants had to sign. Several staff and board members resigned or were fired that summer, including the volunteer coordinator who filed a human rights complaint against the Vancouver Pride Society for allegedly failing to accommodate her at work after she was allegedly assaulted. That complaint has since been settled in mediation by the Human Rights Tribunal, though the terms of the settlement has not been disclosed. Former Vancouver Pride Society Executive Director Ryan Lamb resigned at the end of that Pride season in fall of 2015. After Lamb's departure and after several months of searching for a new ED, Vancouver Pride Society split the position into two and hired Burgess and Arnott in March 2016. Burgess says he is announcing his departure early to help ensure a smooth transition for the Vancouver Pride Society this time. He believes that in the past year, he and Arnott have established a stronger foundation than the Pride Society has previously seen. I think just in terms of organizational health and the board has transitioned to a governance board, and a large part of that has been looking at staff to have more say in decisions at an operational level, he says. And I think Andrea and I have built a very good corporate culture here. We have really happy staff and are proud to deliver a surplus with our financials, he says. Burgess will be involved in choosing his replacement. I think someone coming into this has a value, a strong culture, a positive culture, he says. They have to be very aware of the financial challenges of running a nonprofit, and they also need to be very passionate about social justice and LGBTQ2+ community in general. Alan Jerningjang, a Vancouver Pride board member, who while serving as a co-chair in 2016, hired Burgess, says Burgess's contribution will leave the Pride Society stronger than before. Kieran has been fantastic. Yes, fantastic, Jurgen says. You can really tell the discipline and focus he's brought from a big international organization like Iron Man. And that degree of professionalism has had a really big effect on us. Jurgens says the Vancouver Pride is now looking for someone equally capable around finances and administration, but because the Pride and Parade and Festival are such important events, the people we find needs to be as passionate about the work that we do as we are, he says. So it's a really cool opportunity for which doesn't come up often, because it's a chance for somebody to play a direct role in an event that brings so many people together. The Vancouver Pride Society is now grappling with the question of police in the parade, as some community members feel unsafe and silenced walking along ununiformed officers, and have asked the police be excluded. Yes, so there's a position to be filled there if anyone's listening and is wanting to step up for Vancouver Pride Society there. I was reading from Daily Extra. That was dated April 3rd, 2017. So if you have any ideas, you too can look that little article up and contact the correct people and make some moves of your own, because that looks like a cool job to fill. All right. Well, it's my birthday, and I won't be crying because I don't want to. Did you see what I did there? I got some cool music to play. Victoria Band, the Fortune Killers, have a cool song here. It is called Champion, and I feel like this is a really, really good song. So we're going to get right into it. 101.9 FM, CITR, this is Queer FM, and I am DJ Denise. Having fun on my birthday. Here we go.
standing. I alone, I alone am the champion. I'm rising with the sands, and I will be the only one standing after all I've done. I'm champion. I'm rising with the sands, and I will be the only one standing after all I've done. I'm
multiple times Juno Award winner Alex Cuba releases his sixth studio album, Lo Unico Constante, The One Constant, on April 7th. The One Constant draws from some of Alex's earliest influences from his childhood in Cuba. Catch him on tour this fall. The One Constant is available online and in stores April 7th. Visit alexcuba.com for more information.
Yes, 101.9 FM, CITR. You're listening to Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise, hanging out on my cool birthday, doing my birthday thing, because it's birthday time. How many times can somebody, one person, say birthday? I don't know. We can make it happen, though. Birthday, birthday, birthday. Many, many birthdays. Anyways, where am I at here? So, I do have somebody calling in soon. Just going to wait. Gonna wait on that. Nine at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, and I have a, well, let's see, this is a short piece. Oh my, sort of short. What's going on here? Oh yeah. Oh, you gotta love it. Studio equipment. When it's working, it's working. When it isn't, it isn't. All right. So I was just looking at Daily Extra again here. There was a cool article. It's interesting because we were just talking about, I was talking about Pride. And this article says, this group wants to throw a rival LGBT parade that includes cops on the same day as Toronto Pride. Union and Inclusion Toronto is asking for donations to help fund an alternative parade. Interesting. After 8 months of heated debate over Toronto's Pride Parade, a group of Torontonians is now asking for donations to throw its own pride, one that will include police and take place on the same day as Toronto Pride 2017. Billed as the Unity and Inclusion Parade, the organizers intend it to be an alternative to Toronto's Pride Parade, which recently decided not to let ununiformed police officers march in this year's event. The organizers, Bryn Hendricks, Colton Evans, Andrea Colnish, and Christopher Thorne, sent out a fundraising letter on March 15th, 2017, asking for donations to help fund five complaints on behalf of Toronto's police against Pride Toronto and the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal, as well as costs associated with the parade. Although we are not organizing an entire festival, organizing a parade also has financial costs, including permits, applications, and other printing and general expenses, the letter reads. The letter asks supporters to deposit donations to an RBC account or an Interact e-transfer. Once the police and law enforcement are welcomed by Pride Toronto, any remaining funds will be donated to them. It reads, Unity and Inclusion Toronto declined to comment. We appreciate you reaching out to us. However, at this time, we are not prepared to make a statement, Edvin says. Olivia Noonan, an executive director for Pride Toronto, says that she recently met with two members of the organization and had a conversation about police involvement in the parade. We think it's important that as Pride Toronto, we have dialogue with this group and that we continue to work together to work through some of our issues, she says. Wow. It's heating up over there. Noonan says they didn't discuss the possibility of the groups organizing a separate LGBT parade. They are members of the community who are able to organize what they would like, she says. The organizers object to the decision made by Toronto Pride members to accept all the demands made by Black Lives Matter Toronto during their sit-in during the parade, during the 2016 parade. Pride Toronto indicates their mission, vision, and values are those of inclusion, and that are meant to be welcoming and uniting to everyone. The organizer's letter reads, banning the police is contrary to these values, and it remains our belief that Toronto Pride's decision to accept the demands of Black Lives Matter is not acceptable. Facebook event has been created for the Union and Inclusion Parade, with the date set for June 25th, the same day as the Toronto Pride Parade. The event was deleted on March 25th. Oh. Unity and Inclusion Toronto invites you to celebrate with us and over 1 million people at this year's Unity and Inclusion Parade on June 25th, 2017. Read the event page. Please join us for one of the world's largest inclusive cultural events in Canada and the world. While the group also called for the Toronto Police to conduct a formal review similar to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the brunt of their criticism has been aimed at Toronto Pride. On March 15th, the same date stated on the fundraiser letter. Ooh, I'm getting a phone call. This is the one I was looking for. Here we go. CITR, hello.
Hi, it's Monica Menighetti calling.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to give us a call.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to do this.
Oh, yes, no problem. Oh, my gosh. Well, I've been just reading up on what the mouth wants. This is amazing. Yeah. So I just was in contact with Michael, and he has given me some cool points to talk about. Now, please introduce yourself, Monica, and tell everybody where you're calling from and, you know, what you've got upcoming.
Well, I'm calling you from the Railtown Cafe, and I am here in Vancouver in the east side. And sorry, what was the second question?
Oh, just like introducing yourself and what you have on, like your event or, sorry.
So I'm fairly new to Vancouver. I only came here about 3 years ago.
Oh.
And I came here specifically because I didn't feel I could publish my book in the place that I was living. I didn't have the sense of safety and community that I felt I needed in order to get over the anxieties that I had around coming out so publicly. And so Vancouver has been my dream come true city in that way. I have been writing for a really long time, and coming out on the page has been a really long process. Because I write memoir, I had to, pardon me for that noise.
No problem.
Baking is happening, which is, you know, very apropos because my book is all about food. And so I love the fact that I'm talking to you from a cafe where I can see lots of food and food being prepared and eaten.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, so that's a bit about me.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Now, what period of your life does your memoir cover, and what should we expect and learn about it?
The book was written prior to me moving to Vancouver, so I finished writing it in 2012, and it covers, you know, from childhood, from my earliest memory related to food to the glimmer of Vancouver on the horizon mentioned in the penultimate piece of the book. And it's a trajectory of development that follows through nascent sexuality and identity through a traditional family upbringing and losing my mother at a very young age. I was 16 when she passed away. And so there was this strange coincidence between my mother's breast cancer and my own breast developing. There was a coincidence between being plunged into grief and having my sexuality burst forward. And then the evolution into adulthood. So it's actually quite a wide span that's covered in these small bite-sized morsels that are all related to food in some way.
Oh, wow. And how does the Italian heritage come through in your book?
Well, certainly in the food. There's also bits of Italian language in the book. And you know, depictions of my family life, which I think were very typical. Some of it is illustrated and some of it is mentioned very directly.
Oh, amazing. A lot of books by queer writers tend to include something to do with their coming out experience. How does your book include this?
Well, the book itself is actually quite a coming out. This is the most public I've ever been about being bisexual and being polyamorous. So this book is a coming out of its own. And the book itself, the content, I think, you know, readers will notice the threads from the very start of my life that, you know, presage the orientation and the relationship style that later comes out in my life. And I think, you know, as a bisexual, I'm constantly coming out. Mostly my sexuality is labeled or determined by the partner's gender that happens to be with me. And again, that gets very interesting when the partner on my arm is gender queer, or gender fluid or trans or two-spirit. And so it's interesting how, you know, bisexuality, I mean, there's a lot of talk about its invisibility. And I think, you know, unless you choose to make it visible, people don't see it. They see what they expect to see.
Oh, right. That's so true. I understand that your intimate relationships, you practice polyamory? Where do you see that in the book? Where do we see it in the book?
Polyamory being the having multiple romantic relationships simultaneously with full knowledge and consent of everybody involved. I think that manifests toward the end of the book, but I think at the, you know, early in the book, and there's hints of that relationship orientation.
Mm. And are you having a book launch this? Oh, I see here. Well, what I can see about from the PDF is that you're launching your book.
The launch is tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's tomorrow evening in the Notional space, and you can find the information online on Eventbrite under What the Mouth Wants. So the name of the book is What the Mouth Wants, and that's what the Eventbrite listing is on. Caitlin Prestager Editions is hosting this together with the Notional space, and we're doing a book / food pairing, so kind of like a tasting menu, except instead of having each tasting paired with wine, each tasting is paired with a reading from the book. And so you'll hear about the book, or sorry, you'll hear about the food, and then you'll get to taste it. And there will be wine as well, but the focus is on the food. And we have some tickets still available. We just released some additional tickets yesterday. So Eventbrite, What the Mouth Wants, is the place to go if you want to come to the launch.
Oh, amazing. And that's tomorrow. So get your calendars, you know, ready and open. What time is everything starting off?
Starts at 7. But as I say, we only released some additional tickets yesterday. So I would suggest people get on to Eventbrite right away and book that, because the tickets are limited. There's probably only 4 or 5 left.
Oh, right. Well, good. Yeah, we'll let them know, right?
Yeah, the food is, like I say, directly from the book. And one of the things you'll taste is from the end of the book that is actually prepared by one of my partners, who is the chef, and absolutely delicious. I tasted the dry run the other day and it brought tears to my eyes. The taste was incredible. So,
oh wow, that's amazing. the book launch going along with food and wine, that's really good.
Yeah, so it should be a very intimate gathering. The book is very sensual and intimate, and I'm very happy to have some people coming from different parts of the country to join me to share that I also have the privilege of Sempoyan Gonzalez, who's a Squamish Two-Spirit elder, who's going to be doing a welcome to the territory and a blessing to start off the event. And that in itself is, in my opinion, worth being there, because it does a very, very powerful welcome.
Oh my gosh, yes. Now finally, for those who would like to buy your book, where can they find it?
They can find it at any bookstore or library. If they don't have it, you can request it. It's also available will be shortly in the UK and in the US. There will also be an ebook released at some point.
Oh, good, 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 good. So that online, that's always the best, you know, and you can download it to your apps and read it there and stuff.
Yeah, I think that the book itself is a beautiful possession to invest in, though. It's
yes.
an incredible piece of art that was commissioned for the cover from Cheryl McDougald, who's an artist in Roberts Creek, and the book designed by Vicky Johnstone, who's the publisher of Dagger and Caitlin Press, is absolutely exquisite, and the paper is just wonderful to hold and touch, and highly, highly suggest picking up the physical object, because it's a thing of beauty.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out, Monica, to call us. And do you have any anything you want to add to let people know about if I didn't cover everything?
I guess I would just mention that I'm going to be doing a bunch of different readings in the coming months. The Room magazine is launching their food issue on April 27th. I'll be reading at that. And then there's a solo polyamory conference on the weekend of April 29th that I'll be at, and they'll be offering a writing workshop. And then there's a creative nonfiction collective conference May 5th and 6th.
Okay.
And then I have a couple of things I'm doing in June in Ontario. So if people are interested in knowing what I'm up to, they can connect to my Facebook page under Monmen, M-O-N-M-E-N. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram as well under What the Mouth Wants. And I have a WordPress website. So in one of those places, people will be able to find the events in their area.
Oh, good, good, good. Yes, we'll keep following you. And thank you very much again, Monica, for calling us.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great event tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, you're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR. This is Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise. This is what we do at Queer FM. We talk to the community. It's great. All right, here we go. I've got a little PSA, and I'll come back with some more news and music.
That is a sigh of relief, because Fun Drive 2017 is officially over. To everyone who donated their time, energy, money, forgot to donate now but will donate online at citr.ca, couldn't donate this year but will donate in the future, and to our community as a whole, CITR and Discorder want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just like thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for trusting us with your money, and we promise to make good use of it.
Muchas gracias. Gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Genre infiniment.
Thank you, everybody. That was great.
tired, jaded, mind's not made up yet. We should know better, we should know better, we should know. We fight, we fuck, we love. Shame on, shame on you, shame on, shame on me. We should know better, we should know better, we should know. Your body right. I only want you when you pay me no mind, drive me no line. You have no time. We should know. We should know better. We should know. We should know. No better. Shame on you, shame on me. We should know better, we should know better, we should know.
Might be our saving grace tonight. Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Yes, 101.9 FM, CITR. You're listening to Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise, hanging out with you. Whew, having a great old time here, hanging out, talking about birthdays, book launches, you name it. We got it. We're doing it. All right. I still have a bit of news to cover, and then I'll go into my events for the week / weekend. Ooh, I had a busy weekend last weekend. I didn't even talk about it. Friday, I was at the, Rent Check, which was, oh my goodness, just wild and crazy at the Astoria. Rent Check is a once a month, how will I say this? Like a little strip contest, and it's amazing. The three contestants the final contestants win money, which is just bonkers. I've never seen anything like it in Vancouver. It's all amateur strip, and you just come on down, shake your stuff, bring your favorite song, and also bring a lot of friends with you, because it's crowd participation, and winners, they basically win if you get the loudest cheers. So, just a little plug. That's my new gig for 2017. I'll be running the tunes off of that for that show. That's every the last Friday of every single month at the Astoria bar in Vancouver East Side. So check it out. Also, Sunday I was at Calabash with the Raw Speakers group. They had a lovely showcase Sunday night. And oh my goodness, so much talent in the city. Just basically put on a show, and the women showcased all of their music, singing, you name it. Looper, they had a looper going, and we're freestyling over top of the beats. And in the intermission, I got to rock some beats. So I played some cumbia music, got the crowd bumping. I had one little compliment. It was amazing. This fella from Detroit came up to me and he was like, "I can't Shazam that song that you just played. What was it?" And I just had to let him know, you know, the inside secrets. But yeah, so that was great fun. And this week again too, I'm going off with some amazing events. In the following week, I'll be DJing at Hershey, I guess you would call it the lesbian equivalent to almost Dinosaur for Vancouver. That's April 13th, Thursday, April 13th. We got Good Friday right after that, so people are off on holiday. I'm really excited about that, because it'll be the first time I've ever DJed for Hershey. I've lived in the city all my life, just to let you know, people. Ha ha ha. It's going to be a good one. I'm really excited about that. But anyways, I am celebrating. It's my birthday. And I'll dance if I want to. All right. Now, I've got this piece of news here. I was just reading about Richmond. Richmond inches toward protecting LGBT students. This article, actually, we've been following along for a little while. I remember talking about this a couple of months ago. Now, so it's dated March 30th, 2017. And it goes on to say, one second here, what did I don't want to lose my place. goes on to say, school board chair does not expect district to comply with BC order until June. For a moment, Nathan Lieb thought the Richmond School Board wasn't going to take his advice. Then the board's trustees voted to support LGBT students in their Vancouver suburb by creating a new standalone sexual orientation and gender identity policy on February 20th, 2017. Honestly, it felt amazingly said. I was slightly surprised. I didn't think that in Richmond, BC, in our socially conservative city, that our school board would be open to it. Lee, who runs Steveston London Secondary School's Rainbow Club, says life as a queer student at his high school is traumatic. Younger students don't feel safe in an environment where lockers are vandalized with slurs, he says. He particularly remembers the time a substitute teacher suggested conversion therapy to Rainbow Club members. Now, discredited, conversion therapy aims to cure people of their gayness. This teacher proceeded to make some very hateful remarks suggesting that we all search up a leading conversion therapy advocate and also suggest to one, as also suggested to one of the members, that same-sex relationships are not okay, Lee recalls. If a policy educating teachers, staff, and students had already been in place, this may never have happened, he says. That's why he and a recent Richmond graduate, Kaylin Murrow, petitioned their school board last November to urge trustees to introduce a new policy that specifically educates district members about sexual orientation and gender identity in schools. Richmond's superintendent, Sherry Elwood, agrees that it's important to have such a policy, not only to support students and staff within the school, but to prepare all students to act positively in the world. More importantly, all of our students, including SOGI students, need to feel supported inside of their school environment and within a school culture that they live in. Still, Elwood doesn't expect the policy to be developed until this fall at the earliest. In the case of big picture issues like this particular one, your best practice is to do it thoughtfully and to take the time needed, Elwood suggests. James Chamberlain, a vice principal in Vancouver and a longtime gay education activist, says Richmond SOGI's policy is already overdue. Richmond has been non-existent in terms of any leadership whatsoever on LGBT issues, says Chamberlain, who started his teaching career in the school district in 1992. He hopes the policy will bring change to curriculum, education, students, and parents, providing resources to teachers and increase support and counseling for students. As Richmond begins work on its new standalone LGBT policy, the district has yet to comply with an order from the provincial government to add explicit protections for LGBT students to its existing anti-bullying policy. Richmond missed the December 31st, 2016 deadline set last September by the BC Minister of Education, Michael Bernier. Richmond School Board Trustee Debbie Talapny says the school board started revising its existing code of conduct in 2015 to add new language to protect students and staff from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, consistent with the language in the Human Rights Code. But she says these changes take time. Policy is not done overnight, and you don't want it done overnight because you want it to be right and to be there to guide you. It's important to really be careful, Taliboni added. We've made the change, she said. It's just the actual final approval of the document that we're seeking. Taliboni hopes the board will approve the changes to the code of conduct by June 30th. As for the new standalone policy, Taliboni says it would add an extra layer to the government required protection from discrimination, focusing specifically on education and awareness and understanding. But discussion of both the standalone policy and the mandated policy update has not been without controversy. According to Global News, a group called Parents Care publicly voiced concerns that a SOGI policy might convert straight kids. It is possible if it's a life choice. It is possible. Parents Care group member Colleen Howe told Global News. Lee says one opponent also claimed at the February 20th school board meeting that the policy would alienate Muslim refugees. Come on, stop blaming others, he countered, dismissing the claim. Stop hiding your own bigotry and hate by blaming some other culture. Like, really? Chamberlain also rejected the faith-based or culture values argument, saying it doesn't hold water in public schools in 2017. People can believe whatever they want to in their homes, but schools need to be accepting of LGBTQ students, he said. He insisted it's time for change, which is good. There will always be people who are opposing to SOGI policies, but in this day and age, they are the minority. And human rights and safety for every student are not negotiable, he says. Attempted to reach the members of the parent group to request comment and were unsuccessful. The next step for the standalone SOGI policy is public consultation. Yes, and you are listening to 101.9 FM CITR. This is Queer FM. I'm DJ Denise, enjoying my birthday day. And I want to fly into some music, do a couple of things there while we chill and wait for me to get my cool events happening around the city this week and weekend. So there's so much to do. Oh, people complain about the weather, but you know what? You can do so much stuff around the weather. It's fine. All right. What have I got here? Mama Rude Gal, one of my favorite local artists. The song is called, what have I got? Put On. Again, you're listening to 101.9 FM CITR, Queer FM.
Booty and boom, 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 right now. Cause I never show, I never show. myself a soldier in the fight to experience winning. Find a new beginning. Read everything that you've been waiting. Some kind of way you're feeling when I put it down. See me on the scene, I'm putting on right now. But you never know, you never know. Cause you never show, you never show. What? No matter what you say, you'll never put me down. So pick that booty up and move.
What if this summer you did something different? What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at mediamakingchange.org.
I like when people do what I say. It's a little thing I have. All right. You ready to rock this out, White Horse? Nice!
Dancing in the streets, open New York City. Dancing in- Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Yes, 101.9 FM CITR. I am DJ Denise, hanging out with you, just enjoying this little birthday of mine. All right, I've got a couple of cool events that are happening in and around Vancouver. Let me just get my calendar going here, and amazing, here we go. So tonight, I see that there's an improv event for people to check out. Also, wherever I find myself, Stories of Canada, immigrant women. This is today at 7 p.m. and the pop-up comedy jam with guests is happening at 8 p.m. at the Café du Soleil. Blanket Fort Cherry Blossom Possum is also today at the Astoria bar, starting at 8 p.m. Also, people interested in just like cool new music, underground stuff like that. Nimbus Nights, the darkest of the, let's see, what does this say here? The Darkest of the Hillside is happening over at the Roxy Cabaret, right on Granville Street. What else do I see? Oh, so that's just today in a nutshell. If you are looking for something to do out. Also, stepping out further from Vancouver, I see Coors Light Snow Bombing Canada is happening from April 6th to 10th at Sun Peak Resort. So get yourself out there. Get some snowboarding into. World Music Music Festival is happening from April 6th to 8th at the Rickshaw Theater. And what else do I see here? Oh, Vancouver Dyke March and Festival 2017 AGM is happening 7 p.m. at the Watira Counseling and Support Services. It's Friday at 7 p.m. Oh, if you're into venturing off of over to the island, I see Queer as Funk that we just played. There is in Victoria at the Pacific Fleet Club. There's also UBC is hosting a hip hop showcase, 2017 at the Pit Pub at 7:30. What else do I see here? Well, I talked about the Not a Party election party happening on Saturday at 7 p.m. as well, 877 East Hastings. And Carnival of Kink, also at the Odyssey Bar, Saturday, 9 p.m. Society of the Spectacle Dance Party on Commercial Drive is Saturday, 9 p.m. And, Queers and Beers is on Sunday at 5 p.m. At the Cobalt, so you can get yourself in for that. Oh, wow. An amateur hour, Man Up Amateur Hour, is also on Sunday at 9 p.m. So I guess Queers and Beers and Amateur Hour are going to be working together there. So, yeah, that'll get you through a whole week of stuff to do. I guess I could talk about the AGM a little bit more. Let me see what I see here. So the Watira Counseling Social Services Center is at Unit 200, 678 East Hastings, and I'm talking about the Vancouver Dyke March and Festival 2017 AGM. It looks like it's only an hour and a half long. 7 p.m. until 8:30. What else have they got there? So please join us for the Vancouver Dyke March and Festival Annual General Meeting. The Vancouver Dyke March is a grassroots nonprofit organization committed to being safe and accessible for all dyke-identified folks and their allies. Our goals are to bring greater visibility, pride, and engagement to Vancouver's dyke community. As always, we are looking for folks interested in joining the board or anyone who would like to volunteer their time and talents to ensure that this event continues in 2017. So I see there's a phone number here, 604-254-6995. Doors open at 6:30 and the AGM begins at 7. So they've got a whole accessibility mandate here. And also, you can email VancouverDyke, D-Y-K-E, at gmail.com if you would like to get more information. And also add yourself to the Vancouver Dyke March page so you can find your way over. All right. You've been listening to Queer FM 100 or 101.9 FM CITR. I am DJ Denise, enjoying my teeny tiny birthday. Ah, no big deal. I'm just enjoying. And I'd love to play some Quanta Style because she makes me want to dance. Like, for real, though. Dancing woman. That's what you can call me. DJ Denise hanging out on her birthday at Queer FM. All right, this song's called Beat of My Heart. Get ready to get your toes tapping here because this is a goodie. All right, here we go.
Can you feel it? time, not worrying. I wanna find the one to spend all.